Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for investors and business owners looking to save on taxes and build long-term wealth with Toby Mathis, an attorney, author, business owner, and a featured instructor at Anderson's Tax and Asset Protection event held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Hi, guys. Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast. My name is Toby Mathis, and today we're joined by Gene Greeno. Welcome, Gene.
Good to be here with you, Toby. It's been a long time since I've seen you, a few months anyway.
I know. I was just there. I guess it was a couple of months ago. I was talking at one of the awesome residential assisted living groups. So, yeah, I love the fact that there's so many people getting into it. And hopefully today we can spread some light onto this topic because it's sorely needed. It's one of those areas in the country that not a geographic region, but an actual, like, this is an aging of America, and this is something that's very timely. So I'm excited to talk about it. I'll contain myself. Let's learn a little bit about yourself first off. So everybody gets an idea. I've known you for several years. You've known Denise in my office for what?
Long time.
Yeah, a long time.
We don't want to disclose how old we actually are. But
2 months, right? Yeah. Give me your path, because I know you didn't just walk in and say one day, hey, I want to be working in residential assisted living. What was the path that you went about?
You know, my path started way back when I was 18 years old with my first piece of real estate. And that was actually because we had a business. I was a professional musician as a teenager. So we had a recording studio, a music school, small record label. We were renting the property. The landlord was bad. Property was worse. Ended up buying a house, no money down, because I had no money, no credit, no clue. And that led into fix and flip, buy and hold, small commercial. And now fast forward in my entrepreneurial career to about 20 years ago was the first time I heard about what I do now, residential assisted living. But nobody was there to teach me how. And as I asked questions, people said, well, either I don't want to share because I'm keeping it all for myself, which is an odd mentality, or they weren't successful or willing to share or able to share because not everybody's a teacher. So my interest went down till about the time when my mom needed help. And that's when things get really real, Toby. It's not just money anymore, opportunity. When my mother needed help with her own health needs and so on, wow, everything changed. And that was 8 years ago. And then I made a commitment to get into this because I couldn't find a good solution for my own mother. So I vowed to create it. And we call it residential assisted living, turning single family homes into the assisted living homes. And that's all I do.
And so residential assisted living, for people that don't know what it is, just give us the 10,000 foot view. What is it really?
You take a single family home, make some modifications, and those modifications are senior safe. So seniors can live there in a group home situation, 24-hour care. So not medical, but they can't stay by themselves. And that assisted living in a residential setting could be a house next door. The average person is paying $4,000 per person per month. There is need for this all over the country. And the average resident in that house is in their 80s. They need help with a couple of activities. Some need a lot of help. Some need a little bit of help. But 24-hour care, you might have 10 adults in that home. The cash flow is tremendous, but we're really helping other people as well.
All right. So let's go over kind of perceptions versus reality, because you know, I'm in the same situation as you, Gene. I have a mom that she lives on her own. I worry about her. When she gets sick, it's a huge deal trying to make sure somebody's there. She lives in a different state than me. So I'm always trying to get her to move closer to me, and she's always doing the vice versa. Yeah. But we all have that situation. And when folks get older, a lot of times we have either they're moving in, back in with their kids, or the other option is what? To go into a nursing home or something like that. Is that a fair assessment of what kind of you hear out there?
Yeah. It really is. And when we say nursing home, that's obviously medical. And that's the point, that not everybody needs medical attention where it's 24-hour nurses and doctors available to them. Most people just, when they age, they need some help, but not medical, nursing home. So we do that in between level. It's not the Golden Girls where they're home alone with another couple of seniors. And it's not a nursing home where it's medical. It's right in between. And that is a real mass growing need. Because, you know, when I grew up, we had 7 kids in the family, and 7 kids, lots of kids. Somebody is available to take care of mom and dad or move in. It's okay. A lot of families today have 1 or 2 or maybe 3 kids. And for somebody to quit their job or to otherwise put their career aside to take care of mom and dad is just not practical in a lot of cases. So bringing mom or dad to someplace for that 24-hour care is a really good solution.
I was kind of surprised that it seems that people that are caregivers end up suffering as a result sometimes. Like it puts a lot, that added pressure of taking care of somebody seems to have some pretty significant adverse consequences on health. I mean, I've just looked at this, the data. Yeah. You probably know better than I do. This is your area. What do you see in that?
Yeah, you know, my mother-in-law is a great example. She's in her mid-80s, my father-in-law mid-80s. He needs assisted living, but she made the commitment, no, I'm going to take care of him. And I said, I appreciate that, and I love you both dearly. He's welcome to move into my home and live for free, which is a great benefit to have. But if you're going to take care of him, I just, you know, please be careful, because she's taking care of him. There may be a time where maybe he falls. She reaches down to pick him up. Next thing you know, she tweaked her back and is lying in the bed now. So that's kind of a direct thing, but just the quality of life, the inability to get around, they can't go someplace as easily as they used to. So that's real.
And so is this a this is the viable in between, and it's basically just getting a residential home and making it habitable by how many adults are usually living in one of these homes, I guess?
Is it lot of people here listening, you're probably used to doing rental properties with 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1800 square feet, kind of an average cookie cutter box. So that wouldn't really be the home that we're looking at. We'd want a bigger home with more bedrooms, more bathrooms in a nicer area. So it might be 4,000 or 5,000 square feet. It might start with 4 or 5 bedrooms, but we convert space to make it 8 or 10 bedrooms. There might be 10 seniors or more in that house. So sharing rooms or private rooms and adding bathrooms. So it's an average home from the outside. Inside, you might have more bedrooms, more bathrooms, and the caregivers come during the day and at night to take care of the residents who are there.
Now, is this medical? Like they're providing medical services, or is this, hey, I'm cooking meals and cleaning?
Yeah, it's not medical. And that's really an important distinction, Toby. The idea of it's not doctors and nurses and gurneys. They may go to a doctor's appointment. A doctor may come in and visit, but they're not needing medical treatment on a daily basis. If they did, they wouldn't be a good resident for us. So that resident may need help with bathing, with medication management, with food, with housekeeping, with other things as well. But nobody moves into assisted living unless they need help. It's not a country club. It's not there to play pickleball and tennis and golf. That's independent living. 55 and above, they go there to live their retirement years. This is when they need assistance and somebody to watch them.
Okay. So let's start laying this out on the spectrum. So you have, hey, somebody lives in a home, but I say a home like a house, or a condominium or something like that, and they're by themselves. They always have the option of going into these adult independent living facilities. I've seen them in my backyard where people go and nobody's really checking in on you. Like you probably have friends in the neighborhood, but then this is going on this is taking it to another level. Is what happened when somebody really does need to have somebody checking in on them on a daily basis? Maybe it's to make sure they've taken medication, make sure they've eaten, make sure they're able to take care of the premises, mowing the lawn and cleaning the house type stuff.
Well, and it's usually even a step above that, because the average senior wants to live in their own home forever or as long as they possibly can. The average kids, you and I, are going to take care of mom and help them live in that situation best they can. The problem is when we get to the point where you and I both travel a lot. So if mom has a situation, she can't just call us and say, can you stop over today? Just can't do it. Even if you live close by and you're saying, well, I work a 9-to-5 and now I'm going to stop over after work. That's one thing. But what happened between 9 and 5? Did she need any help? So again, it is in between those, that independent living, they're on their own, and a nursing home where they need medical. It's in between there, but these people tend to need more help than less help. And usually it's an incident. Nobody moves into assisted living. It's usually an incident. Somebody fell. They go to the doctor. The hip isn't broken, but the doctor or nurse or the caseworker says to the family, she could fall again. He could fall again. Who's going to stay home and watch him? And that's where the conversation begins. Wow, can't give up the job. Got to watch my kids and so on. So now it's either hire somebody to come into the home while you're not able to, or bring mom or dad into a facility, is what you would call a place, or a residential assisted living home.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm assuming that this is timely. Like this is something that is really needed. Do you know the numbers on how many people are going to need this? Because it seems to me like you're at home, maybe you hire in and have somebody that comes in and visits. And I know that's expensive, because I've actually done that with my mom. She had the flu and, you know, had somebody there making sure that she was taken care of. You know, my parents moved around, so we're not in the same state. I do have a brother that lives near, but we had somebody come in and just visit and stay with her. So there's that. And then there's something else. what you're talking about, residential assisted living, where now you have multiple people and you have a set of eyes that's on them.
Right.
It's not 24/7, right? These people are there.
It is 24/7 care.
24/7? Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's caregivers during the day. So here's how it would typically work. There's, let's say, 10 residents and there's two mm-hmm. caregivers during the day. And at night, there's one caregiver. And that caregiver at night is awake and they're cleaning the house and taking care of any mm-hmm. residents that get up in the middle of the night. But 24-hour care, not nurses, not doctors. These are qualified caregivers according to whatever the state's requirements are. Most states mm-hmm. are pretty low. Our personal requirements for our training in our homes is very high. We want them to be really good caregivers. Mm-hmm. So they're being taken care of 24/7. All the food is supplied. If they need help with bathing and so on, everything from top to bottom that they need. The kids, mm-hmm. and I will come visit, whether it's once a month or once a day, just come and visit for a few minutes or hours or the whole day. Some of our homes even have extra rooms so that this way there's, if you're from out of town and want to stay and see mom, you can stay right there and eat dinners and meals with them as well. So it's a real home, not a hospital. It's a home, mm-hmm. not a big facility. It's a small group, and the caregiving ratio of 5 or 6 to 1 is the highest in the industry.
Okay. Yeah, and so I'm starting to get my head around it. So for somebody that's looking at this, like mm-hmm. I'm assuming that this is a great investment opportunity, and that's why you're going into that realm, is to fill a need. And how strong is the need? I guess I want to nail down that. Like, do we have numbers on this?
You mentioned the numbers. So currently there's between 77 and 79 million baby boomers, people born between 46 and 64. Some people have passed away, but people have moved into the country to replace them. That means there's an average of 4,000 people every day turning 85 years old. And if we say that's the median age for somebody to go into assisted living, not everybody who turns 85 checks into assisted living, but right. 4,000 a day, that's 1.4 million people this year and every year for the next 20 years are turning 85. Every year, hundreds of thousands of those people will need help with this. So the need is on chart. The rooms are full. There's no room in the inn. It's a crisis for those who don't have resources, and it's a real opportunity for entrepreneurs.
Yeah, you mentioned $4,000 a room. That's a private room.
Well, actually, right? that would be the average, and that includes Medicare and Medicaid, which we don't deal with. Private pay, which is the kids or the individual paying for with their resources, all the way up to long-term care insurance, and then the top of the top. So 4,000 is really average, and most of the people in our homes are $4,000 to $8,000, kind of that upper middle, not the top. Mm-hmm. But that's a lot of money, and that people don't realize that's what it costs. And it really comes out of the everything that somebody has accumulated, that you've worked with them as an organization to protect those assets. But now they are in their last few years of life, and it's being liquidated. So their house is being sold, their pension is being absorbed, Social Security, stocks are being sold, and all of that is going away at $5,000 a month to take care of their long-term care. So I do want to make sure that everybody understands that there's really two opportunities in this. One's real estate, and the other one's business. And the real estate is great because you can own the home and lease it to that somebody else. So that operator of that care home. And if you do, they're going to want a 5-year lease or a long-term lease when you get kicked out, which is good. They're also probably willing to take care of a lot of the basic maintenance, have a home warranty policy for the big maintenance issues that come up, but they're also going to be willing to pay higher rent. So higher rent, why? Because they're going to be making so much money. So you could just do the real estate or the business, and the business is really where the money's made. Because out of that $4,000 a month, if there's 10 residents, $40,000 a month, your net on that should be between 20 and 30% of that gross income. You know, so $8,000 to $12,000 on that average home would be a good number to look at. So if you one, two, or three of those, we call that a 3-pack, that, you know, $10,000 a month times 3 homes can be very, very significant. We're all going to get involved in this one way or the other. So right now, anybody who has a parent of age, I'm in my 50s, and that means parents are typically in their 80s and 90s. That's a parent of age. If all of a sudden it's just, bam, we need to move mom into a home, that could be $5,000 or $10,000 a month just being sucked away from your future inheritance, where if you had one of these homes today, they can move into the master bedroom and live for free.
Are you looking to lower your taxes, protect your assets, and grow your wealth? Are you a real estate investor, stock trader, or business owner? If you answered yes, Anderson Advisors Tax and Asset Protection Workshop is for you. Let host Clint Coons, Toby Mathis, and Michael Bowman teach you how to protect and keep more of what you earn. Our workshops are held monthly throughout the country and via live stream. Two in-person tickets to the workshop are only $99. To learn more about the dates and locations, visit AndersonAP.com and register today.
Does long-term care cover some of the expenses for people, or is this something that's coming out of pocket, insurance, anything like that?
We love long-term care. It definitely is exactly what this is for. So, but the reality, Toby, 90% of people don't have long-term care insurance. If somebody is 85 years old, they're coming to assisted living and they have long-term care, that's a beautiful thing because probably they bought that policy 30, 40 years ago. It started with a $100 a day benefit and cost of living riders. It's now $250 a day or $300 a day. So $300 a day times 30 days is $9,000 a month. And if it's an old policy, it's probably for a lifetime. So they move in and they're paid for a lifetime. They're taken care of. It's a beautiful thing. So when somebody comes with long-term care, we love it. Well, I'll read the policy. I'll take care of it all. Pick a room. It's all good. But if they don't have the long-term care, another solution is to get one of these homes. Now you can move in yourself when it's your time. Master bedroom, live for free. You're leaving a blessing to the kids and not a burden.
And this sounds like these homes, and again, I have a ton of clients that do this. The homes, at least that I've seen, you tend to get the higher end homes that you're not usually looking at as a potential rental. I have a handful of these too. I actually have a great gal that runs, it's not your typical residential assisted living. It's for developmentally disabled adults. So they tend to be younger and they're going to be there a lot longer. But it's exactly as you said, they don't want a year lease. They want 3 to 5 years at a minimum. Mm-hmm. And they do pay a little bit of a premium, not just a little bit, but I would say probably a 10, 15% premium on that property. Because, you know, to make sure that it's a really good size, larger property. These are all five bedrooms in that case. But is that what you're seeing? Is that these are homes that normally wouldn't cash flow for a rental, and then someone's taking it and saying, hey, you know what? Great area. Maybe they're in a golf course community or something like that. And like, let's make this into something where it's a premium.
Yeah. You know, in the industry, what we do would be considered luxury. And that you have to take that word with a grain of salt because that means different things to different people, right? But when we say luxury, this is not warehousing grandma. It's not 150 seniors together in a big converted hospital or even a brand new facility that looks gorgeous that Brookdale or Sunrise or Altria has built. It's a house, a home. So we like bigger homes in much nicer areas. And that home itself is then going to have the conversion inside. And everything, if we make it nicer, now somebody who has money and has the ability to pay for mom and dad's care, they're going to come in and say, yeah, I'm willing. You know, I rarely do tours of the homes to help, but my manager needed help and I'm in town. So she said, hey, we've got somebody who wants to come back to see the house for a second time to do a tour. And I said, I'd be happy to do it. So ran out there, met with the wife of the resident, met with the daughter of the resident and gave them the tour of the home. And the reality is, you know, when I'm saying this room is $5,500, like, okay, no problem at all. This room's $7,500. Well, the budget's not the issue. That's the kind of clientele you want, where it's love dad. We love my husband. We want to take care of them. Money's not the issue. As opposed to somebody who's saying Medicare, Medicaid, or whatever the state for mom, then it's almost like Section 8 in senior housing. And that's not
a horrible situation to be in, too. That's got to be like really feeling, you're going to end up in a box, right? That's going to be the situation for some of those folks. Is they're going to be in these.
It's sad. It is, whether it's big or small. Even, a lot of people who run these homes do a mom and pop model. It's a small home. The kids move out. They say, we'll stay in the back bedroom. And you and me, the husband and wife, will partner together and be the caregiver and the manager and the cook, the baker and the candlestick maker. And that's not a business. That's something that owns you. You don't own it. So we don't do it that way. We pick the right location. That's A number one. The real estate can be scraped away and rebuilt or remodeled. Like you mentioned, a couple of clients that you have, they did a gorgeous place in Kansas and it's just beautiful. I mean, it's everything you could think of, first class. And I loved, because I went out there for the open house to see it. It's just perfect. Mm-hmm. But a beautiful place, a beautiful location. So when the kids come, 50, 60, to say, this house, the house is almost inconsequential, Toby. It's, are they going to love mom? Is mom going to be safe? Is she going to be well taken care of? That's what matters. Not how nice is the furniture and do you have, you know, silver teacups? That's not it. It's the caregivers, the quality of care and location and price. And then, yeah, how nice is the house comes after that.
You know, I think you once said it's the houses you don't want to drive by, right? You'd want to drive to.
There you go. I love that. And the right answer,
I stole that from you, Gene.
I love it. Take them all.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. As you sit there, you go by some of these places and you don't want to stop at them. You look at them and it looks like a prison.
Yeah.
So I tend to value independence, and you want to value that your parent is actually getting some one-on-one help. It doesn't have to be a parent. It could be a spouse. It could be, in some cases, even children. And you're looking at it saying, I want to make sure that there's someone that's caring for and giving them attention. And some of those places scare the pants off. What's the worst thing you've seen somebody getting into residential assisted living? Like, what's the big mistake that you see that you're going, oh, please don't do that?
You know, it's so common for people, we own and operate, but we also train people how. So sometimes people call us and say, I bought a house and I think it's perfect. And I'm like, that's not typically a good way to start the conversation, because what they think is perfect is probably not, because of location, number one. But very commonly it's like, hey, I got the house for free and it's 3 bedrooms, 2 baths. And I'm just going to start here with 3 seniors in it, or we'll put 2 in a room and there'll be 6 seniors in it. Mm-hmm. It's difficult to do this from a cash flow perspective with 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 seniors. Really, you want to do it in a home with 10 or 12 or 15 or 16. I know that sounds like a lot, but it's really not in assisted living. So the location being wrong, where it's maybe a perfect house, but it's the wrong location, nobody's going to drive to it. That's absolutely a mistake, number one. 2, the house is too small or inappropriate. Maybe it's a 3-level townhouse. And they're like, oh, it's downtown. It's right near the library and the hospital and the grocery store. It's all these grandma. No, they wouldn't be in assisted living if they were walking to the library, okay? 3-story townhouse with 600 square feet on each level. Not a good thing for assisted living. So it's location 1, the wrong real estate 2. And then I'm going to throw in one more, because you've been to our training, so you know when we do it, I start the whole thing with, is it okay with you if I share the good, the bad, and the ugly? Everybody says yes. So I love sharing that. But I think the other thing is people who say, I'm going to be the fill in the blank, manager, caregiver, handyman, whatever. Don't do that. That's a big mistake. If you start off that way, it's going to be really hard for you to get out of that mold. You got to start with, I'm hands off. I'm going to hire the right people, empower them, give them the tools to be successful, and then do your part, which is to go get the second location, the third location, while they're doing their part, which is the day-to-day.
Mm-hmm. And have you seen, is it usually the person that's good with the real estate is also a good operator? Or vice versa? Or do you find them to be very different skill sets?
Different skill sets, yeah. I was going to say, you and I travel in the real estate realm a lot and talk to real estate entrepreneurs a lot, but the real estate's the easy part of this. It's the easy part of it, because you can find it and fix it up and scratch it away and build it again. It's the human part. So the manager, the caregivers, the residents, the family, that part is where you really make the big money. You know, I gave you some facts and figures, the idea of 20 to 30% of that gross income. So that would equate to a 20 cap or a 30 cap. In apartments today, if you're getting an 8 cap, you're wetting your pants. You're thinking you're doing great. A few years ago, I'd not do it for that. So when I say 20 cap, that's incredible, but that's because there's a lot of moving parts. It's not just real estate. Real estate's the easy part. It's important, but not nearly as important as the business part.
Now, I've gone and spoken to several residential assisted living associations. Tell me about yours and where it is and what you do, that sort of thing.
Because we're kind of the nexus of everything in regards to residential assisted living. We've actually formed the National Association. So it's REL National Association, and RELNA.com is the website for that, where now homeowners from across the country can join. So we've gathered together to have the power of group buying, group lobbying, and then national marketing. So that's really the impetus for it. In the handful of states right now, meaning about 8, I believe, so maybe a handful and a half, have an organization that's a state organization where somebody can join. Our mission is to bring all of them underneath our national group and then create groups within each state so everybody has representation nationally and locally.
That's really important. Like, you're in Arizona, right?
Correct.
And how many homes do you have personally in Arizona?
I personally own and operate 3 homes myself. I'm invested in a number of other homes here and then invested in many projects around the country. But I own and operate 3 myself here.
Attention all real estate investors, business owners, stock traders, and anyone looking to get out of the rat race for good. We all know time is money, but did you know there's a wealth of resources on how to make more money, keep more money, and protect what you've earned all for free online? Anderson Business Advisors YouTube channel offers free resources on asset protection and tax reduction from lawyers and CPAs designed to help you keep more money in your pocket. To learn how to limit your liability, protect what you've earned, and minimize your tax burden all for free, subscribe to Anderson Business Advisors on YouTube today.
And is the licensing different in all states? Like, are there some states where it's easy, other states where it's a pain in the tush?
Yeah, every state's different. So there's rules and regulations for each state. It's not federally mandated or controlled. It's always state. And then it's local. So Phoenix is different than Scottsdale, and Dallas is different than Houston. So every location is going to be a little bit different. There's some generalities of do's and don'ts and what you can and can't do, but it is always local. It's done in a residential setting. We've learned how to get past homeowners associations and speak to boards. The Fair Housing Act works in our favor in this case because you can't discriminate against grandma. So we've really gone through a lot of detail over the thousands of students we have across the country.
Yeah, tell me about that. So if somebody's looking to learn about this, what are the options out there? Because I've known you for quite a while, and you were the one that I heard about this from, and I didn't see many options out there.
Yeah, you know, we are really the only national option for residential assisted living. There are some people that individually train in certain states and typically do it from a mom and pop model. So that's the one I describe where you are the manager, you're the caregiver, you live in the home, and this is a home-based business and you're trapped in your home.
Most investors don't want to do. Most investors just want to say, hey, let me find properties, find some good operators, or maybe you're an operator and you're looking for good opportunities to scale up your operation. Is this something that would be appropriate for that?
Absolutely. And you know, the training that we do educates somebody, whether you want to be an investor or an operator or an owner operator, where you own the real estate and operate the business. So we actually created a whole nother company called Family Legacy Homes just for the express purpose of investing in these senior housing projects. And that brings together investors, so people with money that want to invest, with project operators, people raising capital with their PPMs, and putting them together so that they can deal directly with each other. The next phase on that, phase 3, as we call it, is we'll have our own fund that people can either borrow money or we can invest in projects. But that's phase 3. We're in phase 2 right now at Family Legacy Homes.
And so you're kind of all in on this whole idea that this is a massive need. Mm-hmm. It's slow to being filled, or are you guys keeping up on it? Or do you think that we're towards, hey, there's a lot of people out there that need this, that cannot get mom or dad or junior into some place where somebody's watching? Is this like a crisis, or is this something where you guys are keeping up on it?
It is a crisis in a lot of people's eyes. It's an opportunity in my eyes, your eyes, and entrepreneurs. So to answer the question, are we keeping up on it? The industry itself is just exploding and the need is there. When you look at a chart, and if you look at a chart and see where the baby boomers start, it's literally a spike in the chart. That's 1946. And so that, as it keeps coming across the chart, you know, the aging of our demographics, that's like a tsunami wave that we can see 10 years in advance. So the baby boomers are not in senior housing yet. They're in independent living, but not assisted living. Their parents are or were. They're next. So that's coming. And so this business is really good now, and it's getting better and better and better. The big box solutions, the REITs, the investments, the hedge funds, and so on, are putting billions of dollars into the big box solutions. So you see coming up where it's 200 beds and it's multi-acre campus and independent living and assisted living and nursing home all in one spot. but not everybody wants to move to a hotel. So what we have is another solution, I think a better solution. And I know it's a better solution because we go to many of the conventions for the big box places. And when I talk to the executives, whether it's the hedge fund managers, the owners of, the presidents of, and I tell them what we're doing, they all, without exception, say, yours is where I want to put my mom. We're trying to be like you, a home. We're trying to turn this big box into what you're doing. But they love what we're doing, but they can't scale it yet, Toby. And this is the big, big opportunity. We're doing one home at a time, but we have some students now whose goal is to have 100 of these homes on a high-end level. That's when the hedge funds will come in and say, we would like to buy what you've got for a multiple. So that's where we're headed.
I could see that. Now, would you know that you have a residential assisted living facility nearby? Like and when I say facility, home, in your case, obviously I know when there's a big one because they have a big sign out front. But if it was just in your community, would you even know one of these is there?
Probably not, because it's a home without a sign in front 99% of the time. There's probably not a lot of kids running around or commotion. There's not cars racing up and down the street. You'll see a few cars in the driveway, not the residents. It's the caregivers coming to visit. And on occasion, you might have 10 or 12 cars, but usually it's just one or two. So you probably wouldn't know at all unless there was some kind of signage out in front.
So this is just this is a home that is just like any other home. The biggest difference is somebody's there 24/7 watching over the residents, making sure that they're fed, making sure that you're bathing, that they're clean, like everything's all hunky-dory in the house, right?
Yeah. Again, from a real estate perspective, it's going to look just like any other house on the block. From what's happening on the care home side of it, that business itself being operated is 24/7. Caregivers are there, not medical staff. They're taking care of the residents and their needs. So inside, the inner workings of it is different and unique than anything that others have done. So the house on the outside looks exactly the same.
Yeah. I mean, I could just tell you from my standpoint, because I'm an avid investor, work with a lot of investors. This is one of those things where you're doing some social good with it. And so I tend to push people like, hey, if you have a heart and this is something that's speaking to you and you want to take care of some pretty significant needs, this is something that you should take a look at. If it's just dollars and cents, I don't know. I don't know your view on that. But when I see people that are just dollar and cents people, maybe as a lender, maybe as the real estate side, but I don't know if I'd want them operating. Do you share that or
not operating? And you know, we look at it as a three-legged stool. There's business, there's the staff, and there's the residents. So you can't all about any one of them. So even if you're all heart and say, I just love people, I don't care if they can pay me a dime, that ain't gonna work. Or I'm all about business, I couldn't care less about their health or needs, that ain't gonna work. An even balance of the three. And, you know, I wanted to just say this too. Anderson has been tremendous for us in regards to how you've helped us and all of the students that we have come through the training program. And one of the things you inspired me to do years ago is the idea of setting up a charitable foundation and the opportunities within that. And that, for me personally, has been a game changer. Tax-wise, for sure. But the ability to do this on a higher level and doing good and doing well. So I thank you for that. And I just encourage anybody who's been thinking about it, because I know you talked to me about it for a while before I finally got it. It's like, hey, that's
really... I got a chip at you. Say, give it away. Give it all away, Gene.
You know, like, what an idiot. Well, I should have been doing this for forever. So
a lot of people don't realize when you're doing assisted living, you can do it as a charitable activity. It counts as a 501c3 if you actually wanted to run homes and things like that.
Yeah.
You certainly can do it.
Because a whole other realm. Yeah. Opens up a whole other realm of opportunity for sure.
Yeah. So like some people are, again, the idea of making money on certain things is repugnant to them, and they're really idealistic and this, that, and the other. I say, great, you don't have to make any money. Give it all back. And then there's other people that are like, no, I just want my money to make money. Marry the money with the people with the heart.
Yeah. And you said this very succinctly, the idea of it's not just the money, and for investors, those listening, it's impact investing. You're not just investing, you're making an impact in the world, your community, and it is self-serving. You're going to make money as well. But everybody wants to do something important. We work with family offices. These are people with hundreds of millions and billions of dollars. They're looking to do good, not just get a return. Yes, their money has to be safe, but they have money that they want to put to work, and that impact investing is really what they're looking for. And I think we all...
I appreciate that. Now, if somebody wants to learn more, like I could put your link up, but do you... I know you have the academy and you have the association, two kind of different things. If you're already in residential assisted living, should they go to the association? And if you're not, then you should go to the academy, or what order, and should you do both?
I know you're going to put a link in up there, and I've got a free book for those of you who do go to the link. You'll be able to download that as well.
Perfect.
You can also go to Amazon and buy it. I'd be happy if you did that, but download it. It's free. Toby will hook you up with that. Go to the show notes.
What's the book?
It is called The Insider's Guide to Investing in Senior Housing. So from a standpoint, it's a good resource, a tool. But it's kind of interesting. You ask the question, where should they start? And I would say, if you have a home, consider coming to the training that we do anyway at the Residential Assisted Living Academy. Come there, because invariably, we had a couple of homeowners in the room this past weekend when we did our training, and they're like, wow, we've been in business for 8 years, and we didn't know this or this or this or this. Sometimes people just assume they know it all because they figured something out on their own. If you're thinking of getting in, absolutely come to the training, because there's so many mistakes you can avoid that will save you time, effort, money. But if you are already in the industry and think you know it all, go to the National Association, because group buying, the national lobbying, the national marketing, we have a map. We're showing you homes around the country. Love to have your home there so we can bring some business your way. Family Legacy Homes if you want to invest. But that show, that link will get people kind of there to all those spots.
Perfect, Gene. Hey, I really appreciate your time. Is there anything else you want to throw at him, or is that good for you?
You know, I just want to encourage everybody. You're always looking for something in life. And I think you came here and listened to this because, yes, you love Toby's voice and you love his wisdom that he shares with you. But you're looking for something meaningful and something that gives you passion. So find that, your why and what gives you passion, and then go for it 150%, you know, whatever it is you're going to do. And I just know for me, I found it. The radio show that we had called, you know, The Second Wind Success. I think a lot of people my age are looking for something more meaningful to put our time, effort, and money. It's not just mass success, but it's significance. We want to do something. There's a huge need. We're all going to become a part of it. So you're going to get involved one way or the other. You decide how, but I'll give you the resources you need if you'd like them.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. That's enough said from me. I'm going to say this is the Anderson Business Advisor Business Brief. Thank you so much, Gene, for joining us, and we'll make sure that people can learn more about you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast, and if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.